Hello, everybody. This is for my Athlete on Fire audience. Hey, Becoming Ultra audience. I'm probably going to be sharing this with you guys as well. So this is a different kind of episode. What I'm going to do, I got something in the mail the other day. I'm going to share it with you guys here in a second. But we're in the time of year where we really should find ways to be thankful and grateful for everything we have. You know, for me, it's a body that works and a family that pretends to love me. I think they do, but they pretend very well. Healthy kids, healthy wife, family members that are really good to me, and lots of good friends, and a working brain, which seems to help in making a career for myself. So those are things that I'm always grateful for. You know, lost my dad 4 years ago, and you know, when you lose somebody, I think little trinkets come up all the time that remind you of them, and things hit you in the weirdest times. So this is kind of cool. My auntie, she is, my grandfather passed away last year. So my dad's dad, and she was going through a bunch of the stuff in the garage, and he kept a lot of articles. My dad was a coach down in Florida, and she sent an article to me. So I'm going to read this article to you. It'll probably take me a few minutes. It's pretty cool. After my dad passed away, so there's a huge story, that this article kind of touches on, that my dad was given 3 months to live back in 81. When testicular cancer that had thought to be remedied metastasized into every major organ, and so after he passed, you know, there's just a lot of creative ways to remember him, and I designed a shirt that said 3 months to live, go, or something like that, and I wear it all the time, love it. It's very comfy, by the way. But I think the concept, whether you're given a death sentence in a medical way or not, if you can break your life up into 3 month little increments, and be super focused in those 3 months and get things done and don't procrastinate, whether it's relationship based or business based or, you know, fitness goals, running goals, whatever they might be, if you can just get really focused, you can change your life in 3 months. And whether your life continues to go on how it was before or not, we can all give ourselves 3 months to change things up. So I really like that idea. It just makes me kind of happy. So I'm going to read this article here in a second. Nothing crazy promotional or anything going on. Still coaching a lot virtually. If you guys need any coaching help, programming of goals, whether it's running or fitness or strength or any of those things, and you just can't find anybody locally right now, I know it's a little trickier in the world. I'm doing that in a lot of different ways. I'm doing it one-on-one, which is the most customizable stuff. I have a site that I put out videos every week, which is a little less cost to the athletes, and there's just less stuff that I'm doing. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, hit me up, scott@athleteonfire.com. But for now, I'm going to read this little article. It's a little, the colors on the article, I mean, this is an old school piece of paper here. This is crazy. We used to read newspapers. My dad, I believe, yeah, he wrote a little note. I think he sent this to my grandpa. He said he messed up on a couple of the details, but it wasn't too bad. Love, Scott. It's on the top. It's on the front page of the sports. No, it's not. The second page of the sports. Cape Coral Daily Breeze, Saturday, April 9th, 1994. Title is Beat the Odds. Mariners Jones wins battle for his life twice. I think this was my sophomore. Yeah, this is my sophomore year. So I was playing there. There's a picture of all of us kind of huddled around my dad. We always said a prayer before the game, so we're all huddled around. We had really good baseball teams down there, so it's probably that type of competition is probably why I was good enough to go play at the college level. So let me take a little gulp of my coffee. And now I will read. So credit to Matt Dale, Breeze staff writer. Daggone, 1994 was 26 years ago. That's crazy. So Matt, I don't know if you're still writing. I don't know if that newspaper is still around, but here we go. Mariner baseball head coach Scott Jones leads the Tritons in a prayer before and after each game. While the team is huddled together, Jones asks God to give the Tritons the ability to win, but he never asks God to help his team accept defeat. That's because 13 years ago, Jones wouldn't accept losing a battle doctors thought he had already lost. On May 1st, 1981, doctors found a hot dog-sized tumor wrapped around his aorta, and x-rays revealed 10 black spots on his lungs. I had testicular cancer in 1978 and they removed my right testicle, Jones said. It was the same type of cancer John Kruk, the Philadelphia Phillies first baseman, was diagnosed with during spring training. The doctors thought we had it beat then. While attending grad school at West Virginia University, Jones went to the doctor with stomach pains. I remember him telling me how he drank a bunch of Maalox while on spring break, said Brian Jones, a Mariner physical education teacher and graduate school classmate of Scott. I was watching their kids for him when he went off to the doctor. Then his wife, Kathy, came back at 11 o'clock and told me he had cancer again. For the next 3 months, Jones underwent chemotherapy and took an experimental drug, cisplatinum. Doctors scheduled two surgeries and told Scott to plan for the worst. The doctor said that the drug wasn't yet out on the market, but they had been getting good results, he said. Back then, the chances of recovery for somebody with my type of cancer was about 13%. Before the surgery, I went down to my father's farm in West Virginia. I was laying on a hammock, and I was really sick. I asked my father if I was going to die. I can remember him telling me, Scott, you're not going to die because you hate to lose too much. Jones also found a friend in Brian who visited him every day in the hospital. My mother died of cancer, so I kind of knew what he was going through, Brian said. I knew he needed support, and I used to watch his kids 4 or 5 times a week while he was in the hospital. During the first surgery, an exploratory laparotomy. Jeez, that is a word that I know and obviously cannot pronounce. Jones' temperature skyrocketed to 107 degrees, and his life crept closer to ending. The doctors had my intestines pulled out, and they poured a saline solution in there to get my temperature down. They thought I was dead at one point. When they removed the tumor, they found pieces of teeth in there. The surgery lasted 8.5 hours, and I spent 4 days in the ICU. To his doctor's surprise, Jones eventually won the battle against cancer and fulfilled his father's prediction. Today, he coaches 3 sports, football, basketball, and baseball at Mariner, and still hates to lose. Truth. Not accepting losing is something that is inbred, Jones said. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up because I would get upset if we lost. I played on an 0-10 football team in high school, and that ate me up and almost killed me. And that's the end of the article. I love that article. Yes, my dad hated to lose. Like when I went back to see my dad for the last time when he was in the hospital bed, and he was gone already. But they kept him on life support, and there was a sense of peace knowing how much my dad hated to lose, knowing that there's no way that he would ever leave us, unless it was time, unless he just absolutely could not beat it. And there's a certain peace in people who fight like that. It's a way to respect the people that you're leaving behind, and it's a beautiful way to live. I think hating to lose has been demonified. Is that the word? I don't know. It just seems like people who really want to win in certain things are not looked upon the same way as they used to be. And I would say you need to try to win everything because it transfers over into other parts of your life. You can do it with grace, and you can do it with sportsmanship, and you can do it without trampling on your opponents, whether there's a real or imagined. You know, like in business, there's an imagined opponent. We're just trying to figure things out so we can support our families. But that article just touched on so many things from my life, and I wanted to share it with you guys. So a couple people. So Brian Jones in the article, he was the wrestling coach and one of the football coaches at the high school. So he was around my family. I was around him growing up. It's just funny, 2 West Virginia boys living down in Florida. The funny thing about Brian is he was so close to my family that he would never, ever knock on the door when he visited our house. So in my house in Florida, like the garage was always open because I was playing, shooting hoops in the front yard, in the driveway, and I was swimming in the back in the pool. And he would always come in through the garage, open the garage door where the laundry room was, and just come in, scare the crap out of our whole family fairly often, maybe a weekly basis. I always thought that's kind of cool. But he babysat us when we were young, so big shout out to Brian. Same last name, no relation. The reason he was watching us so much, my mom was helping with him, and she was working. So, and she had 2 young kids. So in 1981, I was 3. My sister was 1. My mom was working 3 12s, 4 10s. She was a nurse. So if you can imagine the stress that she went through back in the day. Laparotomy, there you go. Jeez. So a quick comment on that surgery. His surgery, his scar started below his waistline, in his midsection in the front, went up to his belly button, around his belly button, up to his sternum, around to his back, below his rib cage. That's one cut. So they opened him up and put all the saline in there and cleaned him up and took a lot of the cancer out manually. But growing up in Florida, we would always go to the beach and we'd play in the waves and stuff, and there'd always be a couple little kids that would just stare at the scar because it was huge. And on cue, every time his line was, "Oh, yeah." And he'd point over somewhere, and he's like, "Yeah, that's exactly this scar is from a shark attack from right over there." And he'd point like somewhere where the kids were. So he got kids out of the water fairly often growing up, which is just kind of crazy. And then the last point on not wanting to lose, our teams, we were talented. We had a lot of talent. We had a lot of guys go play at a high level in college and stuff. But the thing about our teams is we never, ever gave up. We were scrappy. I mean, I remember winning one of our big regional games with a bunt or like a little scrappy hit that just got by somebody, and we just never gave up. And that can happen from the top down. It happens in the ultra running world. It happens in weight loss. It happens everywhere. If your coach or the people that need to believe in you so much that they know that you're not going to fail, it resonates. So maybe that's something that people need to hear right now. Like, this is a hard time for a lot of people. If you have a goal, find some people that will support you differently than the ones that have been supporting you lately. You got to find people that want to hold you accountable and aren't afraid to be held accountable. And those are the people that are going to help you get to your goals. So these are all lessons from my pops. Been gone for 4 years. I'm going to keep sharing them. My boys get them all the time. And just that'd be kind of cool to share with the audience at large. So appreciate you guys. Have a great week. And let me know if I can ever help you out. Thanks a lot.